Last election, we did well on the party vote. We retained 3 of 7 seats. We are very competitive in the Māori electorate generally, and Māori support over a long period of time has been important to us. So we go to Ratna knowing there's been a long-term relationship and a long-term emphasis by Labor and government on supporting and working with Māori to get ahead. That annual statement I give as Prime Minister, understanding orders, which starts the parliamentary year, is important, and obviously always put a lot of work into that. But I have decided this year, start of election year also, to do a speech to a more general audience, and I'll be setting out some of our key issues and priorities we're following this year there.
Is there an acknowledgement that by not giving a speech at that time,
Well, it is election year. We've got a lot to say. We've got a lot that's positive that we've achieved, but we're also very conscious of needing to respond to new issues, roll out new policies. So I'll be outlining some of my thinking. In effect, the formal stocktake is the PM statement, but this is an opportunity to say some other things to other audiences.
Can you give us an idea of what sort of areas you might touch on? You've mentioned sustainability already as being a big part.
Well, I'll be making a judgment in the next few days as to what I reserve for the Prime Minister's statement and what I reserve for next week, but I've given you an indication of some of the issues that are particularly important to us this year, that we've got a lot of work going on. I can say, as one who will be attending for the 15th time, that as Labor leader, it's not only my practice, but my duty to be at Ratna every year, as I have been. And it's a pleasant duty. I have a lot of friends among the Motuhu at Ratna, and a tremendous number of contacts. I can look along the paepae there and see many, many people I've met for many years. So from my point of view, it's very much part of my role as leader of the Labor Party to be there. The Labor Party is, after all, a party which is over 90 years old. It has long relationships.
Have you decided yet which part of the Waitangi celebrations you'll be attending?
You can expect my program to be identical to last year's programme.
You said the government's well placed to be able to respond to the international economic crisis if it reaches these shores. Like, how high do you rate the possibility of the government having to respond?
I didn't actually say the is in the context of the government responding. I said New Zealand is in a stronger position than many economies to deal with international market volatility. We've had years of good growth. We've had low unemployment. We've still got skills shortages. We've got many of the issues and challenges which are the opposite of recession. So all in all, while you're never immune from it, and if such volatility is protracted, almost inevitably there's some effect. Nonetheless, we have shown a capacity, I think, in recent years to work our way as a country, as an economy, through these issues better than a lot of countries. I think we're in a strong position, and the factors you identify are part of that strong position. I recall when there was crisis perceived in 1998, the response of the National Party in government with Mr. English as Minister of Finance was to cut New Zealand superannuation and sell Contact Energy, one of the jewels in the state-owned enterprise crown. So you can't expect that sort of reaction from a Labor government. We've worked hard to put ourselves in a strong position should there be international market volatility. I think you could assume from what I've said that cutting the super and selling state-owned assets was the National Party way of coping.
One of the issues in 1998
was the drought. Anderson talked about that today. Can you talk about that? Well, the long-range forecast has been for these La Nina conditions to carry on through to autumn, and they usually bring dry conditions to the west of the North Island and much of the South Island. Now, at the present time, you've got areas of high concern, and they are in the Upper Clutha, the Lindis, the Mackenzie Basin, small pockets in central Otago, pockets in North Canterbury, and the Wairarapa. Then you've got areas of medium concern, where the situation's continued to worsen, in parts of the Manawatū, central and southern Hawke's Bay, remainder of central and east Otago, upper Waitaki, inland south Canterbury, Nelson and Marlborough, northern south and Taranaki, central North Island, Waikato and Hauraki, Coromandel. Now, that's quite a lot of New Zealand. And so what Math is saying is if there's substantial rain in the very near future, many of the current issues facing the farmers would be alleviated. But if there isn't, then clearly there's potential for some rather large-scale problems. So MAF is following it very, very carefully. They've commissioned more in-depth financial reports on the current situation in the areas which are the driest. They printing this week the drought brochure which they used for the 2007 East Coast drought to go through the South Island. They're undertaking a feed survey in early February. They're really working on their role of trying to provide as much information as they can to farmers and government. And Jim Anderton himself will be out in the field in the coming weeks visiting the affected areas. So it's being very, very closely monitored. Well, we do work closely with NATO in Afghanistan, of course, but this particular advice, if I could put it in inverted commas, comes from retired military people from some NATO nations. It would be very clear that to the New Zealand government, the concept of first strike is anathema. I also see that they wrote that there is simply no realistic prospect of a nuclear-free world. Well, New Zealand foreign policy for rather a long time has been dedicated to working for an ideal, which is a nuclear-free world. And we're not about to abandon it because some retired people from some NATO countries have said it's not a very good idea. Most certainly we have. The precedent when Sir Keith Holyoake died and a similar return of medal and ceremony was held at Windsor Castle, although what is envisaged here is rather larger scale. The government of the day paid for the family expenses of Lady Holyoake and her son to go. So we would certainly be expecting to render assistance to Lady Hillary.
Are you surprised at the reaction to the
world? Surprised? No, because I think there had been quite a lot of speculation in news media that there would be attendance. So when there wasn't attendance, I think people were surprised. but I can only repeat the advice that I had, which is that the Queen's offer of the memorial service at Windsor as a large New Zealand occasion in a chapel which holds hundreds of people was a very rare and special offer. And from my part, I know that the Queen in her early 80s, who I've met with relatively recently in Kampala, is not in a position to travel this distance at short notice. And I believe that she made a judgment that the offer she made was the genuine and heartfelt alternative to that. Well, that again was the precedent set at the time of Sir Keith Holyoake's family going to Windsor, so that's certainly something I'd be considering. Well, it's certainly something I'd be considering because of the precedent. This is a very rare honour and order which Sir Ed has had and which Sir Keith Holyoake had. So it's quite an exceptional circumstance.
Thank you.